Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to your next mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley, proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Hello out there. Welcome to your next mission. I'm Jack L. Tilley, your host, and I've been having so much fun doing this podcast. I'm so glad you can be with me today. I'm still learning, so please go easy on me as I navigate around the new, exciting journey. Your next mission is a new program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. Every Tuesday, we'll be talking with some outstanding and interesting guests who will provide insights and real takeaways for our veterans, military service members, military spouses, and families as it relates to transition from the military to civilian life. We want to address the topics and issues you already are dealing with. It's my hope that your next mission podcast can be a place where we can all laugh and cry together and have frank, honest conversations about questions we're all trying to answer and have some fun along the way. To get this started, I want to tell you a little bit about myself, which is probably pretty depressing. But when I was in the Army, I used to think everybody knew who I was. And so I was walking through an airport one time, and I seen these 8 soldiers. They seen me. I seen them. And I walked up to them, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And the guy says, "Hey, how you doing?" Obviously, I hadn't seen my picture. So I said, "Do you have that book that shows the Army rank structure?" And the guy says, "This is not a joke." Now, the guy said, "Yep, I sure do." I said, "Well, can I see it?" He said, "Yep, you sure can." So he opened the book up, and I pointed to it, and I said, "See that rank there?" And he says, "Yep, I sure do." I said, "That's the rank of a sergeant, isn't it?" He said, "Yep, it sure is. I see that rank right there." He said, "Yep, I sure do." I said, "That's the rank of the sergeant major of the Army, isn't it?" He said, "Yep, it sure is." I said, "That's me." He said, "No shit." And then he laughed and he said, "Prove it." I said, "Prove it?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You got an ID card?" And I said, "Yep, I sure do." So I gave him the ID card, and he looked at the ID card, he looked at me, he looked at the ID card, he looked at me, and he says, "What does SMA stand for?" And I said, "It stands for Sergeant Major of the Army." And the guy says, "No shit, glad to meet you." That's my no shit joke. I loved it. I hope you enjoyed it. So anyway, God bless you, and thank you so much. Today, we're going to have a great show. Our theme is about transitioning. We're very fortunate today to have two of my good friends and wonderful leaders for the United States Army, the 13th Sergeant Major of the Army, SMA Ken Preston, and the 15th Sergeant Major of the Army, SMA Dan Daly. So, hey, welcome, guys. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you are participating in this podcast. And the only thing I want to start or say to you before I get started, Sergeant Major Preston, I wish you had like a buzzer that you could zap the Sergeant Major Daly to shut him up when he starts talking, because he's aggressive all the time. No, anyway, how about starting off with Sergeant Major Preston, would you like to say anything to the audience about yourself or anything you want to tell somebody about you? Just, I got a couple of questions for you. Anything you want to say?
Oh, I just, I just want to say that I'm very grateful, thankful for the opportunity to be here and, kind of share some thoughts and ideas with those out there about transitions. A little bit about me. I've always considered myself the average American who joined the Army right out of high school.
Dan says like that all the time, too.
I was 18 years old, senior year in high school, and I was delayed entry. And literally 30 days after graduation from high school, came into the Army. So my intent coming into the Army was to do my 4 years, take the Montgomery GI Bill, get out, go to college, and become an architect.
Oh, wow.
But fell in love with the Army and ended up staying.
Yeah. So
that's a little bit about me.
Hey, Sergeant Major Daly, how about you, bud?
Oh, is it my turn to speak now, SMA Tilley?
No, you can speak anytime you want. You always go over us anyway.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank the American Freedom Foundation and you, SMA Tilley, my SMA, along with Ken Preston, my SMA. Because even SMAs have SMAs, right?
Absolutely.
That's right. So I just want to thank you and the team for not just doing this, starting up your next mission, but all you've done in the past. Incredible. Incredible. And I think this is appropriate. Talking about transition, because it's something, and we're going to get into this, I know, you got to prepare for. And it's good to get advice, because I got a lot of it, and hopefully I can share some of that tonight. Now, a little bit about me. 15th SMA, you said that eloquently. I mean, it was kind of quick, but you did mention it.
I wanted to get through it quick.
Yes, and I would say, to simplify it, there's really only one difference between me and the 12th SMA, Jack Tilley. He gave an example of, he thought everybody knew him. Well, when I was the SMA, everybody did know me. So, Jack, I don't know what you were doing wrong, but you're the sergeant major of the Army. The soldiers should know you. Hey, I am just an average kid, just like Ken said, you know, small town, northeastern Pennsylvania. My father served. Both my grandfather served in World War II. My brother served. And I was a two-year soldier. I signed up when I was 16. In high school, and came in when I was 17, and was just one to serve my country, make my father proud. That's why I came in the Army, to make my father proud. And I fell in love with it. And I could say that I was the luckiest soldier in the world. I got the opportunity to serve alongside some of the brightest and best people this nation has to offer. And I got to be the SMA. There's nothing that could be replaced. That.
Let me ask, this is not on the script, but did you think you'd ever be the sergeant major of the Army? Or would you?
No. I was happy to make it to specialist.
That's exactly what I did.
I'm a specialist, Dad. I'm a specialist. I'm not a private anymore.
You know, that was my goal, to be a specialist. I never thought I'd get back to Mexico. Sergeant Major Preston, do you ever think you'd be the sergeant major of the Army?
No, you know, it's interesting you said that, because I've got an NCOER that I received back when I was a first sergeant. And one of the bullets on there from the senior rater was future sergeant major of the Army. And I thought to myself when I read that, yeah, that's really bizarre, because there's no way I'm ever going to be sergeant major of the Army. I mean, I was looking at just getting to 20 years, you know, and retiring at the 20-year mark.
Yeah.
But, you know, things changed. But
this is going to sound... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Ken.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this could sound crazy. I have one from when I was a staff sergeant that says the same thing, bullet. And that lieutenant called me when I made sergeant of the Army and goes, I told you I could predict good leaders.
Well, you know, I had an NCOR, but my NCOR said you should be chaptered at 10 years or something like that.
That's right.
Hey, what's the one thing that you'd tell the audience about yourself that nobody else knows about? There's something you'd like to share that's really personal. Start, Ken, go ahead to you.
Yeah, so what a lot of people don't know is that both my parents served. You know, my mom served in the Air Force. My dad served in the Army. So mom was a Korean War era veteran. She was in the Air Force from 1952 to 1955. Of course, that was a time in history when, you know, one, women weren't allowed to be married, and two, they weren't allowed to have children. So, you know, her and my dad got married in 1955. And, of course, dad was finishing up his two-year obligation. My dad was a field artillery soldier. He was Nike Hercules missiles, and he was part of the coastal defense.
Oh,
a little bit about me.
There you go. Hey, Sergeant Major Dale, the same thing. Same question.
Oh, yeah. Something that nobody knows about me. I got some interesting hobbies. Not typical of your average person. I'm a beekeeper. And I love it. I found passion in it. Actually, when I was the sergeant major of the Army, and I had, at least to my knowledge and all those who had any recollection, I had the first beehives ever on Fort Myer, right there in our nation's capital. And I'm an avid woodworker. I find passion in it. And I make furniture, cabinets. I feel accomplished. That's a self-assessment, though, so don't take it that great.
Yeah.
People have asked me, they said, how come you don't sell the stuff that you make? You know, it's beautiful. And I said, because then I won't love it anymore. It'll be work, and I'll be a victim of it, not having fun. So I think that's something that a lot of people don't know about me. I'm an avid woodworker, and I'm a beekeeper, and I fell in love with it.
Did you eat your own honey and all that stuff? You get that honey and stuff out of the bees?
Oh, yeah. I had Fort Myer. I was selling honey to all the general officers all around there. You know?
Making some extra money here. Hey, Sergeant Major Preston, tell me some key things you recommend to a service member when preparing to get out of the service.
So the first thing I would say, I mean, in a very general sense, start early. And, you know, one of the things that that as we started into really the transitioning, you know, and this goes back, you know, when I was a young soldier and I was thinking about at one point getting out. Then again, I was going to retire at the 20-year mark as a first sergeant. And it kind of each of those things, you know, you kind of think about, okay, what's next? And what I would say for everybody out there that's looking for advice, start early. I mean, start way, way earlier in your career. And, you know, there's probably three things. It's education, it's medical, and really it's your finances, you know, making sure your finances are in order. If you have those three things taken care of, you know, whether you're single or you're married, you know, that'll kind of get you started on the right foot when you leave the military. One of the things I learned early on when I left, you know, I had the opportunity to go in to be the president and CEO of a small nonprofit organization up in Taunton, Massachusetts. So Homes for Our Troops. And I spent a year up there as the president and CEO. And it was at that time sitting on one side of a desk interviewing veterans that were applying for positions that I seen a lot about. Not just the resume and the interview process, but really the credentialing. And out there in the civilian world, it really comes down to education. You know, in the military, you know, we wear our rank right here on our uniforms. And you can look at somebody and say, okay, that's a first sergeant, probably, you know, 15, 18, 20 years of experience. And you know all the different leadership experiences that they've been in. You look over at somebody else, you see a captain. You know what leadership experiences they've had, where they're at as a captain, as a company commander. You see a lieutenant colonel, and you know all the leadership experiences they've had and the types of schools they've been to. Well, out in the civilian workforce, everybody looks like this. Okay, you don't have that credential. So when you're in there and you're applying for a job, you know, really what it comes down to in many cases is education. So for everybody out there, start early and really take advantage of the Army's credentialing programs to get college credit, take advantage of tuition assistance. And of course, you know, if you want to go really big, you know, take advantage of your Montgomery GI Bill. And because really, I mean, if you're going to get into senior level, executive, director level positions, you want a, you know, a graduate level kind of degree to be competitive.
I think you're right on with that. That's great advice. Sergeant Major Daly, tell me why you joined the Association of the United States Army after you transitioned out of the military.
Yeah, absolutely. But before I answer the question, SMA Tilly, can I have one request, please?
No. Go ahead.
No. Yes, sure, you go can. Ahead. Go with ahead. The request,
go ahead. You got to go to the bathroom or something? No, go. You can.
No.
Say whatever you want. Go ahead.
Simple request. So I know this is breaking etiquette because I'm 15 and Ken's, you know, 13 and you're 12 and you guys get to go first.
But absolutely. Every once in a while, you carry my bags. Go ahead.
But every once in a while, could I go first? Because following Ken is so hard. His answers are so damn good.
He's too smart.
I know. He's wicked smart and it's difficult, you know, and I understand the etiquette. I'm the 15, he's 13, but every once in a while, just throw me a question.
No.
But this one is different.
No.
No.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, you got to ask. I won't find out the answer if you don't ask. And what was the question again?
I don't remember. No. Why'd you join AUSA when you transitioned out of the military?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the story. I had no intention, actually, because it wasn't on my mind because my SMA worked there, you know, SMA Ken Preston. And he was doing a phenomenal job. He took the division that he led as the vice president from something I don't want to say unimportant, but something that was not at the stature it needed to be within AUSA and elevated it to a platform that our soldiers and our leaders and our officers need to see. And that was the vice president for NCO and soldier programs. So when I was transitioning, I didn't have a plan. Let me correct myself. I did a very deliberate transition. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But I intentionally did not commit myself to something. And I did this purposefully because I got great advice from a leader and said, just take your time. Because the best advice I received was, you can get a job. Soldiers have lots of skills, tangible and intangible, right? You can get a job, but the great job will find you.
Yep.
And it came true. Ken Preston called me and said, hey, what are you doing next? I said, I don't know.
He said, what, you thought about it? I said, I have, but I'm not committed to anything. I said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to work on my land up in Pennsylvania for a few months, and I'm just going to figure life out. And, you know, I was an infantry soldier. If I have to, I'll dig ditches, you know, whatever I need to do, right? And I'll figure it out. Yeah. And he says, well, why don't you send me your resume? I'm like, what's that? So I had to put one together for Ken. No, I did one during transition. I did a good one, actually. Yeah. And the transition assistance program helped me write one. And I sent it to him. And next thing you know, I got a call from General Retired Carter Hamm. And he asked me to over for dinner. And I'm sitting there with, you know, Ken Preston and General Hamm. And they asked me what if I thought I would like to come work for AUSA. And I said, yes. And I remember talking to my wife later that night. She said, well, what did they offer you? I said, I have no idea. She goes, what'd you do? I said, I took the job. I took the job. And that's a true story. Yeah, and I said, yeah, because Ken said, hey, you know, we want to transition the leadership and keep it relevant. You know, we think you're the right person for this fit. And it was such a phenomenal landing place for me. I wasn't done. I ran out of jobs in the Army, but I wasn't done being a soldier. You know, I did 30 years. I was only 47 years old. I had a lot left in me. But unfortunately, the Army didn't have any more job to offer me. And the wrong thing to do is try to hang out after you've been the Sergeant Major of the Army. You can't do that, right? But what better place for me to continue to serve our soldiers and our service members and our retirees than AUSA?
Two great stories. I'm going to cut you off right there. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Sergeant Major of the Army Daily and Sergeant Major of the Army Preston. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast, proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Veterans United Home Loans proudly sponsors Your Next Mission and supports our military. They are the number one VA lender for 5 straight years and have earned 4.8 out of 5 stars with nearly 255,000 reviews. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Please visit them at veteransunited.com.
Let me go back to Sergeant Major Preston and Sergeant Major Daly again here. Now, I left off with Sergeant Major Daly, but I'm going to go back to him because he complained about it last time. Sergeant Major Daly, can you tell me a little bit about NCO and soldier programs for Association United States Army and what do they do?
I sure can, but I want to explain the difference between a request and a complaint first.
No, don't do that to me.
Okay. Yeah, the non-commissioned officer and soldier programs. And this is where I can brag about my good friend, Ken Preston. He's really built this position, and it's allowed me to now at least attempt to take it to the next level. The non-commissioned officer and soldier programs directorate of the Association of United States Army, it very simply takes care of our soldiers and non-commissioned officers across our Army. We support the missions of the Chief of Staff, Secretary, and most importantly, the Sergeant Major of the Army and his initiatives. And we support 122 chapters across 7 regions and 2 geographic locations overseas in their pursuit to take care of our non-commissioned officers and soldiers all throughout AUSA. So the left and right limits, we like to say in NCO soldier programs, if it's there to support our non-commissioned officers, soldiers, their families, or our chapters, there are none, right? We'll figure it out. When the request comes in, we make it happen, whether it be a leader development session or support to a function they want to do, or a one-on-one with a soldier that needs to talk to a former Sergeant Major of the Army. We do it. And we try to make ourselves available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what I'd ask is, if you have an idea of what we should be doing, send it to me. And if we can do it to support our non-commissioned officer soldiers and the AUSA members, then we'll give it a try. But I want to thank Ken for, again, this incredible opportunity and for building this directorate within the Association of United States Army. Putting the soldier stamp on AUSA is what he did.
Well, I tell you what, Sergeant Major Preston, you must be paying him extra money to say all that good things about you. I don't know about it. Hey, Sergeant Major Preston.
Hey, checks in the mail.
Along with the one I sent. I've been sending you checks for years.
Hey, there's not a whole lot of good things to say about you, Jack, so I have to.
I've been asking that stuff. Stop that stuff. Well, hey, Sergeant Major, I'm going to go to Sergeant Major Preston. You got to be quiet for a minute. What are the keys, Sergeant Major, what are the keys to success that you used in the past during your transition? I mean, you talked about a lot of them, but is there anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, one of the things that I found transitioning from the Army into the civilian workplace is the pace and the tempo of the job site is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, in the Army, we work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, we don't leave until the job's done. You know, so if it's motor stables down in the motor pool and a vehicle comes in at 1700 on a Friday afternoon and it's deadline, we're going to work on it and get it fixed and get it back up again. So, you know, that's kind of the mentality that all of us as service members, when we leave the military, going back out in the civilian workforce, you got to kind of change your attitude towards the pace and the tempo of the civilian workforce that you're now joining. And one of the things out there that I've seen with some military members is they have a hard time adapting to that. They're very gung-ho, you know, get in there, get it done. And of course, it has a tendency to rub people the wrong way. So treat people with dignity and respect, you know, blend in with the environment that you're going in to work at, be a doer and contribute to the mission success.
Oh, wow.
That's my tip.
That's great advice. You know, we're going to take another short break. Be right back with SMA Daily and SMA Preston.
The Purdue Global Advantage, a name that opens doors, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. For a personalized, innovative, and world-class education, learn more by visiting purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Your Next Mission Podcast. I'm SMA Jack Tilley. I'm really excited about the next segment of our show because this is where I get to hear from you. We get to hear your stories and the experiences you've had so we can learn from each other. Please reach out to me at smatilley@yournextmission.org or write a review on the website, yournextmission.org. Tell us your story. Send us a video or photo, and I'll feature your story on the podcast. Today, I received an email from Shane M., who actually was in the Army, and he was still on active duty. And I'm gonna read this from him because I think you guys will probably enjoy that. For me, growing up with an addict, single mother, up in a ghetto, poor, often homeless, I had no chance of education, no hopes for future. A buddy of mine was joining the Army, and the recruiter said we can join together in the buddy program and be stationed together. Well, after training, he went to Fort Hood and went to the 1st Armored Division in Dexheim. Although I had some rough times in the service, I credit it with giving the future and teaching me how to be a man and how to be a leader of men. My transition was rough. It took me a while to get on my feet. I had several jobs in a short time, and I knew my father at the time would kick me in the butt on this. I was really spiraling out when my grandfather from World War II, a Marine vet, took me aside and gave me some hard love. And he told me to not dwell on the past and embrace the future. My future and my training, from then on, I worked three jobs and I went to school and worked my tail off. And I think I was successful. So, Shane, thanks for sharing with that. We appreciate it. And that's a great story. People go through a lot of tough times. I talk about my stories all the time about how difficult it was when I came into the service. But that's a great story. Thanks for sharing. We're going to go back to Sergeant Major of the Army, Ken Preston, Sergeant Major Daly. Thanks a lot, guys. You're doing a great job. I got a few more questions for you. Sergeant Major Preston, what's some do's and don'ts you have for starting a new civilian career?
Yeah, so as I kind of think about it, do's and don'ts, and you know, this kind of gets to, you know, the letter that you just read. Great iron soldier, served with the mighty 1st Armored Division. You know, made some mistakes in there, and of course, it's the same thing when you transition from a military career to a civilian career. And you know, what I remind people all the time is that, you know, particularly for senior leaders, you know, as you move up in levels of responsibility as a senior non-commissioned officer or as an officer or warrant officer, you got a lot of responsibility. You know, you're credentialing, you know, you got right here on your rank, on your chest. And of course, when you go back out in the civilian workforce, you're going to start in the basement. Okay. You're going to start in the mailroom and just remember what it was to be a private and, you know, be a humble, respectful, private going into that organization. And, you know, don't be the one that thinks they know it all. Yeah, you've got a lot of experience, but, you know, go in there with an attitude to learn, you know, to put yourself, you know, in a position where you want to follow the leadership within that organization, learn from them, and then gradually over time, work your way in, make recommendations,
what is the most,
and grow into the organization.
What is the most valuable
lesson? You have to be a learner first. You have to be a private first. And then work your way up into that organization.
I'm listening. I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes for all this stuff. No, I can't match that. No, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Ken's answers are awesome, aren't they? They are. I am too. I'm like, man, I got to go back and retransition now because I should have, you know, I got to go in there. And I just a point though before I move on, I'll answer your question. You know, this is just me. I got to add this element to the podcast. You know, he said something, Jack, that you should take advantage of. He said you got to be humble.
Boy, you never stop jabbing me, do you? Go ahead to answer your question.
I'm just bringing that up. But yeah, a couple points sense. That I would offer on transition.
Is my head bigger or something?
No. But I just wanted
not.
To pick up on something that
go ahead,
Ken Preston said that was very valuable. It was very valuable. And maybe there was a hidden message directed towards you. I don't know. But I think my advice on transition is I like to keep things simple. I was an infantry guy. You know, the only thing you should have gave us was chem lights because that's the only thing you got to break to make it work. But simple works for me, right? And somebody gave me the advice and I used it. So the person that cares about you the most is you. So, and I honestly put that to work in a transition. I said, listen, I'm going to do this. I'm the Sergeant of the Army. There, and we all know there's a lot of people that want to help you. And I didn't take it. I went to the transition assistance class. I sat next to the PFCs. It was blowing their mind when the SMA was sitting there. Yeah. I did the financial worksheets. I did all the classes. I literally filled them all out. I found out I was the only one in the classroom that actually did it all, but I did it. I'm not kidding. The instructor's like, you did it all. And I went through it. One, because I needed to know what our soldiers were doing and how to properly inform the system to make the corrections, right? And you can only do that if you experience it. But two was, I said, hey, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to take an invested interest in this transition. And when I went to do my VA, which retirees, that's probably one of the most important things because this is your care for the rest of your life and your compensation for the sacrifices you made as a soldier. There's a lot of great people out there that'll help you fill this stuff out, MSOs, VSOs, and they're good. And the point I'm about to make is not to deter from that. But what I found is I said, no, I'm going to do this myself. I literally got the VA compensation book and the claims thing, and I read it literally cover to cover. And I walked every single one of them. I got every single copy of my records. I walked line by line, page by page, matching it to the compensation forms. And nobody submitted it. I submitted it. I did it. And actually, when I sat down with the doctor, he goes, can I say something to you? He goes, whoever did your form, they did a great job. And I said, thank you, sir. I did. He goes, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. He goes, it's not full of all that unnecessary stuff that we see all the time. It's not about putting 70, 80, 90, 100, 300 things on your VA form. It's about documenting the appropriate things so you can receive the appropriate compensation and care for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's about doing it honestly too, because I believed in that, right? So moral of the story, I think, Jack, is
let me tell you, you know, the only bad thing
there's a lot of people can help you, and obviously take the help if you need it, right?
You guys, I can't thank you enough for being a part of this podcast. The only bad thing, again, it's too short. And so I want to thank SMA Daily and SMA Preston for being on this podcast today, and thank you for thank you for what you do and what you continue to do. Thank you so much for who you are and never stop helping soldiers or service members, not just soldiers, all the veterans that we all know each and every day. And so, again, I just want to thank you, and I'm here for you. We're all part of a family. I'm not going to give you none of my money, but we're all part of a family. There's no question about that. So I want to thank you again. Thank you so much.
If you need a firm to fight for your brand the way they fight for your next mission, it's time to call on the Cavalry. They help brands dominate, no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. please visit them at calvaryagency.com.
Thank you so much for listening today. Please visit us at yournextmission.org, where you can meet our key partners. All of them have services and jobs for you. Also, follow us on Your Next Mission social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'd like to again thank SMA Preston, SMA Daily for being with us today. Again, for being on the podcast and providing such great insight to our veterans. I want to end each podcast with a little story of experience of my own. I was, when I was in Vietnam, this was a lot of years ago, I was overran and half the unit that I was in was killed. In fact, 20 wounded and seven killed. And I always tell the story about the first order I ever refused in the Army. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, we got hit. And then Sergeant Oshbosh was in my tank commander. You guys, Ken will appreciate that. You may not, Dan, but Sergeant Oshbosh was my tank commander. And I said, Tilly, I want you to get off and go run over there and get that tank firing. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And I always thought he was the best leader I ever met because he didn't ask me the same again. He just said, get up on the 50 and you shoot. And he jumped off the vehicle and ran over there and seemed like he was gone for just a couple of minutes and come back. Never said anything to me. Just got back on and told me to get back in position and you know, just do what I was doing. And like I said, never said anything. Inside that tank, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I will, was you know, three of my fellow soldiers that were all killed in the tank. And I think about that today because at 18 years old, just think about how that would have scarred me for life. In fact, I'm already scarred probably a little bit anyway. But those are the kind of things that our veterans, not just the Army, all service members go through that stay with them their entire life. And sometimes it's so hard to even talk about. I think one of the things that really helped me is I'm able to talk through some of those things. So just a little story and share your stories with your other veterans because I think it really helps. Again, thank you for listening and thank you for Cloudcast Media for showing us the way. And our three major sponsors, Calvary Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. See you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.